All right, if you have your Bibles, and Jada told me to give her that back. I'm sorry, there you go. We were sharing a bulletin this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to read that here in just a second. And this is something, this is a, let me just say it like this. This is a revelation that is still kind of unfolding. Even for me, something the Lord showed me in the scripture about Mother Mary. So I was thinking, I told Jada this morning about it, and I was thinking about holding this until next Sunday, because next Sunday, of course, is Mother's Day. But I feel like this is going to be a two-part message, because I don't think I'm going to get it all out today, or the complete revelation I feel like God's shown me through this in Luke chapter 1. And it's when the angel shows up and tells Mary as a teenager that she's going to, you know, birth the Christ child, that she's going to birth Jesus, and her response to all that. And so we're going to look at that here in just a second. So the title of this message is Accessing God's Favor. Accessing God's Favor. Because Mary accessed God's favor. And I want to show you how she did it. And what happened to her can happen to each one of us. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen? All right. Now, my dad's sitting on the front row. He sits on the front row every Sunday, and he thinks he's God's favorite. He even tells me that. And I have to tell Dad, Dad, you may, yeah. And then see, there's Nalene over. And here's the deal. Because I get in that argument with him too, Nalene. I'm like, now wait a minute. He's got angels sitting up here with him. He tells me that every Sunday. So here's the deal. We are all God's favorites. Amen? There you go. It's because God's not a respecter of persons. And Dad's just going to have to get over that. because we are all God's favorites. So look at somebody and say, you're God's favorite. Now, here's the deal. I had you do that, and some of you was like, I don't know about that, you know. And here's what I'm telling you. You are. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are God's child. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God, and you're His favorite. And you've got to believe that by faith, okay? And just want to start off this morning and just say this to all of you guys. My heart's been so full this morning, worship. And just been thinking about just life. I don't know if that's just the grandpa coming out of me, you know, holding my grandchild up here, and then got great-granddad on the front row and everything. But I just want you guys to know I love y'all very much. And it's an honor to be your pastor. And it's an honor to bring the word to you on Sunday mornings. And I just want to... You know, my deal is I've never wanted to be one of those pastors that just brings a canned message on a Sunday morning. I mean, it's something I found on the internet, even though, you know, the internet's a great tool and we can use that to study, and I do. But I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Just a canned message, and, oh, we got through the Sunday, and let's go home, you know. And I've always wanted to bring a message that I felt like that was straight from God's throne, a revelation that's going to help you in life. And it's good food, amen, that you walk out of here and you feel like I have been fed the Word of God, and this Word is really going to help me. And so that's what I tried, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, because I'm not, because I have on Sundays and off Sundays. How many of you had on days and off days? Okay, and so I'm praying that today's an on Sunday, amen, because I've had grandkids over at my house, and if you're a grandparent, you understand what that means. I don't know how in the world. I told Jade on the way here this morning, we had both grandkids in the back, and we're coming to church, and I was like, I don't know how we did it, but we're actually arriving to church earlier than when it's just you and I. but we're doing it today. So, start at 4 o'clock this morning. No, there's a lot of truth to that. We got woke up by our grandkids this morning. So, I'm believing that this word is going to help you, and I'm just telling you, I feel like it's hot off the press for me, and I'm still meditating on it and chewing on it, so it's going to take a couple Sundays. Y'all are okay with that? There's probably going to be more of this come out next Sunday for Mother's Day. And one of the best compliments that I've ever had whenever I was ministering, I'll never forget this, and it was Cindy Oden. and she's from Altus, a wonderful woman of God. She's a pastor's wife down there. And Jade and I, was several years ago, and Taya was with us this particular Sunday, and we got to go down there and minister. And after we were done, we went and ate dinner with them and everything after church. And she said, Mark, she goes, you know what you remind me of? And I said, I was like, oh boy. Because if you don't know Cindy, you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. I said, what, Cindy? She goes, you remind me of a captain of a submarine. And I was like, well, okay, where are you going with this? You know? And she goes, because you're the way you present the word is just real stealthy and precise. And then you just take the enemy by surprise and just take him out. I was like, man, I just got goosebumps when she told me. I got goosebumps again just sharing it. I was like, amen, I'll take that. I'm a submarine captain this morning, amen, in God's army. So it takes all kinds in God's army. You need the Air Force. You need all of it, you know. But thank God I'm in the submarine underneath the water. And I've always liked the water, so that just really resonated with me. So here we go. Everybody in the submarine today? We're not in the yellow submarine, okay? I looked that up before I said that because I know what that means. I found out what that 1960-some... anyway, you need to look it up. Google it. You know, we're not in a yellow submarine today, okay? All right, here we go. That's a joke, by the way. We're in church. Let's loosen up a little bit this morning. Okay, access. Dad got it. Accessing God's favor is what we're going to be talking about today. But before we go look at Luke and what was going on with Mary, when you get saved, because I realize I scanned the room this morning, I believe that I'm talking to mostly believers in here. If you're not a believer, you're going to be one by the time you leave today. But in Romans 12:2, it says this: when you get saved, your spirit becomes new. Okay, you're born again, is what the Bible says. You are a child of God. You're going to go to heaven. All right. You're secure in your salvation. But what happens then is you begin a process called sanctification, and it's where the Holy Spirit, which you couldn't get saved without the Holy Spirit's help anyway. It's the Holy Spirit that actually draws you to Christ. In fact, if you'll listen to this, it's the Holy Spirit that even gives you faith to accept Christ. Okay, really, if you get right down to it, you had nothing to do with it. Okay? And so you had to respond, yes, you had to respond by faith, but it was him that woo you first, okay? And so, he died for us first, you know? And so then what happens is this process called sanctification. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, and what he's doing is, with your help, because he co-labors with you, he's trying to turn you into the image of Christ in the earth. He's wanting to work with you to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Everybody got that? To produce the character of Christ in your life. That's what he's doing in this sanctification process. And he works on all of us in different ways. You know, how he made us. We're all different. The Holy Spirit knows how to work on each one of us. And we're all a work in progress this morning. Amen? Every one of us in here, work in progress. Okay, we're all in work. And nobody ever arrives. Right, I even believe when we go to heaven, we're still going to be learning about God and his infinite love for us. We just can't. And even now, in our finite minds, we can't even grasp it. All right, and so it's beyond what we can even think or imagine, is what the Word says. But what God also does in the Holy Spirit in our life is we begin to submit to this process, get into the Word, come to church, be around other believers. You know, walk with God, talk with God, have a relationship. It's all about relationship. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. But what starts happening is this process called renewing of the mind. Yes. And your mind, even though your spirit is new, your mind needs to be renewed according to the Word of God, is what the Word says, and so that you can display Jesus to the world. Yes. Okay? So you can understand the nature of Christ, the character of Christ, and display him to the world. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? And so somebody said one time, well, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that's, you know, there's three different wills of God there. No, that's all one will of God. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Everybody understand that? Okay. So a renewed mind proves and displays the will of God in your life. So a renewed mind, this is all going somewhere. We're going to get to Mary here in just a second. A renewed mind is the key to personal transformation and societal transformation. Okay, everybody getting this? A renewed mind is the key to your personal transformation, you being transformed. Right now, we're conformed to this world, and so what the Holy Spirit's doing is transforming us by the renewing of our mind so that we look like Jesus. We look like Jesus, we act like Jesus, we talk like Jesus. Yeah. Amen? That's what's going on. But you have a part to play in this. Part of it is coming to church, hearing the Word of God, but you need more than that. You need to be in this Word and having a prayer life yourself. Yeah. Amen? Okay. And so a renewed mind, what happens is you begin to renew your mind. Faith, let me say it this way. Faith comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the mind. All right, now stay with me. So a renewed mind is like the banks of a river where faith can flow. So faith comes out of your heart like a living waters. All right? And so a renewed mind is like the banks of the river where faith can flow through you. And a renewed mind and faith, a renewed mind and faith work in tandem together. They work together. Everybody tracking with me? So your mind is a great student, but a horrible master. And a lot of people are being mastered by their mind, which their mind is their mind, will, and emotions. All right, so they're being led around by their emotions and, you know, the circumstance of the day or whatever. So, but your mind is a great student, but a horrible master. What you want leading your life is your spirit man. The only way your spirit man gets above your mind is you got to renew your mind. Everybody got it? We're tracking? All right. Is this helping somebody this morning? This is going somewhere, I promise you. So now I want you to think about this, all right, because every one of us in here deal with this. We're all in this process of renewing of the mind. So what happened in the fall when Adam and Eve fell, how they fell was the enemy came with them with, has God really said? So basically what the enemy did was he had him question God's word. Okay, here's another one. The last Adam, so that was the first Adam. The last Adam, which was Jesus, you know how Jesus was tempted? He didn't fall, thank God. But the Bible says that the enemy came to him in the wilderness and had the first thing out of his mouth to Jesus was, if you are the Son of God. So what the enemy attacked him at was his identity. Now, here's the deal. As we're in this process of renewing of our mind, these are the two attacks of the enemy to keep you from renewing your mind. He's going to have you question God's word, and he's going to have you question your identity in God. And that's what he does constantly, to keep you from renewing your mind according to the word. And so that his tricks, his schemes, his strategies have not changed. But he's very good at it. And so that's why you've got to get into your word and renew your mind according to the word of God and not according to this world. And everybody said, so don't question God's word. God's word is the final authority. I'm going to say that again. God's word is the final authority. The Bible says that this whole world, everything you see, this church, everything's going to pass away. The only thing that's going to stand the test of time is God's word. It is the final authority. Some people on the planet right now don't believe that. I was reading a deal the other day where somebody was stating the word of God, and they were talking about the Apostle Paul, and they were stating the word of God that the Apostle Paul said, and they said that was Paul's words. And I was like, but it was inspired by God, you know, and because they had this deal going on, well, Jesus didn't say that, that Paul said that. All right, well, it's in the word of God, it's the word. It was inspired by God, even though Paul said it, and everybody said. So there's just that subtle deal of questioning God's word, questioning, and it gets into the body of Christ even, where people, and the reason why we're not living victorious lives is because we have a lot of people going around questioning God's word. And everybody said, amen. And then therefore, they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't even know if they're a son or a daughter. Some of you will get that later today. All right, you're either a son or a daughter of the Most High God, okay? And they're questioning their identity. And so we're seeing this huge identity crisis going on in the world today. and people don't know who they are. And they say, well, I'm just living out my truth. No, there's only one truth, and it's this. There's not your truth. It's this truth. And you've got to submit your life to this. And when you do, things will start clearing up and getting, you'll figure out if you're a boy or a girl. I'm just going to say it, okay? And guys, it's getting crazy outside these four walls of this church. And I'm going to tell you, it's not, I wish I could tell you that it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. But here's the deal. The church is going to get brighter and brighter and saltier and lighter and lighter. We're going to usher in the coming of the Lord. But I'm getting off on rabbit trails now. But Jesus said in his word, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he also said even with Lot, well, what was going on in the days of Noah? All right, that was before that was the flood. And then the days of Lot, if you know about Sodom and Gomorrah, I heard one pastor say the number one thing that was happening in both of those situations, there was all kinds of sin going on, but the number one thing that was going on in those situations was sexual perversion was going on. And that's what we're seeing come to the forefront. And they said, when you see that happening, get ready. Jesus is coming back. The church is. And so guys, hold. You know, it's that what I said earlier, you know, yeah, we got to stay together. We're better together. Went off on a tangent there for just a second. All right, now we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. Is everybody getting something this morning? We're renewing our minds. And I'm going to show you a little teenage girl that renewed her mind quickly. This really inspired me because some of us spend a lifetime renewing our mind, right? And we are. We're all going to spend a lifetime renewing our mind. We never arrive. But what I want to be is I want to be like Mary, where she responded quickly when she knew that she needed to have her mind renewed instead of hanging on to an old thought pattern or whatever. I want to be quick to repent and quick to change my mind. That's what repentance means. It means change your mind, okay, to whatever God said in his word. And so I'm going to show you this, and I don't have it on the PowerPoint. So it's in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It says, and this is the story we've all read before at Christmas time. This is when I've read it at Christmas time, but there's something that I just love how God's word is so multi-layered and you just get new revelation from it when you look at it again through different eyes. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored. Everybody say highly favored. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what matter of greeting this was. So she's basically saying she doesn't believe she's highly favored. Verse 30 says, because she's like, I'm a teenager and you don't know how, my family and where we grew up at and all this stuff. This is all going through her mind. Verse 30 says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Everybody say favor again. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, okay, this is in her unrenewed mind, okay? And it's a valid question, even though she is questioning. And sometimes it's okay to question God, but when he tells you, the truth, then you just say, okay, God. So verse 34, she says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Basically what she's saying, if I'm going to translate that for you in redneck, she's basically saying, I have never slept with a man, so how am I going to be pregnant? How does that don't compute naturally, God. Okay. Verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said to her, this is what he said to her, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, and that's John the Baptist that she was carrying. In verse 37, it says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. God can go against nature, everything that you understand, he can go against. He's God. In verse 38, look how quickly she renewed her mind. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She quickly renewed her mind. She had a question about it at first, and then the angel kept talking, and she's like, just let it be. I don't know how in the world this is going to happen, God, but you just said it through an angel that you brought to my house, and I'm just saying, be it unto me according to your word. I submit to the process. That's what she's saying. And here's the revelation that, so she renewed her mind, even though she questioned the word of God, she was having identity. Can you imagine having a, ladies, think about this. Can you imagine the identity crisis she was having at that moment? But she submitted to that, and she quit questioning God's word, what the angel was saying. She submitted to it, and she received it, and she said, I am going, basically what she said when she said, be it unto me according to my word, according to your word, she's basically saying, I am going to be the mother of the Messiah for all of mankind. That's what she was saying. Now, here's what happens, and this is the revelation that I'm still chewing on and trying to, and really processing this, is because Mary accessed God's favor because of what she just did, what we just read about. But what happens is the reason why a lot of believers do not access God's favor, because we get hung up back up there in verse 34, and we're questioning God's word, and we're having an identity crisis because we don't know that we're a son and daughter of the Most High God. God may not, you know, there's many things that God has spoken in my life, and I've questioned him, and then I, you know, God's like, Mark, I want to bless you. You're my son. And then I don't feel worthy to be blessed. Am I just talking to myself, or is it? And God's like, Mark, I need you to get rid of that mindset. That's not for me. That's not from me. I need you to get rid of that mindset. It's not even humility, Mark. You know, because a lot of times we think that's humility. That's false humility. That's not even from God. God wants you to be blessed and highly favored. That's not just a cliche. You know, we walk around, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Most people don't even believe that, but they say it. I want you to say it and believe it. Don't have that identity crisis. And if you are having that identity crisis, get over it quickly. And say, be it to me according to your word, God. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? This is the revelation God gave me through this story. But a lot of reason why Christians in the body of Christ, that we're not lining up with the word, and we're not receiving God's best and God's favor and God's blessings, is because we do not believe we're worthy. Because we're hung up on what we did in the past. And God's like, I don't even remember your past. That's not even your identity anymore. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be highly favored because you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Is this good? All right, I'm still chewing on it myself. So I'm giving you something to chew on for the rest of this week. And do what? You have to do it? Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary. Oh, okay. Here, go take this back there. To Carrie. Guess what, Carrie? I have it. I have the secret weapon. Do you think that'll work? Okay. Hey, halftime. Time out. Pastor forgot to give her the little... I took this to Scott's church last week, and Scott even said, I need one of these little clicker things. And I said, you know why? I said, you know why I got me one? It's because I like to be in control. I don't like to rely on the sound booth. Even though Carrie is the best sound booth person in the world. Yes, Carrie's awesome. She was back there going, I got to do it. And I'm like, and then she tells me, I don't have the little dilly. And it's up here, and it's got a little hole where I can store that. Because I had to take that to, looky there, I got it. I'm in control. All right. So accessing God's favor. So here we go. Luke 2, verses 51 through 52 says this. Then he went down to Nazareth, and with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. How many of you want kids to be obedient to their parents? And I know these two over here are saying a big amen. But his mother treasured all those things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. Okay, Jesus was the Son of God. We understand that. He's eternally God. But he was also, the Bible says, he was the Son of Man. So he's our model to follow. All right, and so God wants us to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's the way God wants us. And so here's 10 keys to God's favor. And I know I'm gonna kind of go quickly through this today, but I'll send you these notes if you want them. You just give me your email address. There's 10 keys to God's favor. Love God, love people, hate what God hates, give gifts and offerings, be a giver, be faithful, be righteous and blameless, be submitted, be humble and have humility, be honest, and get God's wisdom. Okay? So those are 10, just 10 quick keys to God's favor. In Psalms 37, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." And so here's the best definition of the word favor that I have found. It's called demonstrated delight. And the favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people will say, "Nah, you know, you don't need no tangible evidence. So you just got to have faith in the Lord and all this." And if you're seeking experiences from God, then you're just going to be deceived. I'm going to say this. If you're not seeking experiences with God, you're already deceived. Every time we get together, I want to have an encounter with God. Amen? I don't want to just get up here and teach a canned sermon and we all go home. And, you know, I want people, when they come to our church and in this presence in here, I want people to encounter Jesus. That when they leave here, they're thinking differently and they're like, "I need to give my life to the Lord." Amen? I mean, that's ultimately what I want happening. And so God, because there's the scripture that I'm thinking of right now is taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants you to experience him. Amen? He wants you to experience him. God's favor is not a fad to me. This is not a fad. This is a lifestyle. I want to live like this. I want, whether I'm at church, outside of the church building, when I'm, you know, doing my job, I'm a bivocational pastor, I want to have favor with God and with man, and I want it to be tangible, and that when people get around me, they're not saying, "Man, that Mark Haney, you know, is a good guy." I want them to feel the presence of God when they get around me. And there's nothing cocky or arrogant about that. That's when I walk into, and I know this is going to sound cocky and arrogant, but when I walk into the room, I want to bring hope. I want to bring the presence of God. I want to bring a different feeling in the room. And we all need to have that mindset. No matter what circles you're in, whether you're at home, whether you're on the job, or where I want whenever driving a truck, working in the oil field, wherever you're at, whenever I come on the scene, whenever you come on the scene, you're a carrier of the presence of God. It's not just on Sunday morning. We got to get this mindset. It's 24/7 that I want to be walking in the favor of God and having favor with God and man, that God will even give me favor with my enemies. People that are not treating me right, I'm going to have favor with them. They just cannot get over the fact that there's just something about that Mark Haney guy. I just got to have favor with him. And it's something to do with God, not me. All right? 4 points to access the favor of God. And I like to call the favor of God the fog. We had a great fog this week, if you remember that day, and it made me think of the favor of God. You're in that fog, I'm just like, that's when you walk around in life, just think that I'm walking in the fog, right? The favor of God is constantly around me. People can't see it. I can't even see it, but I'm walking in it all the time. You already have, here's the deal. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to receive this by faith today. You already have God's favor. So the most basic answer to how can I get God's favor is believe in the Lord Jesus. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have God's favor. And everybody said, you believe, I'm going to take that a step further. You're going to have to take it a little bit further than that. Believe and do what Jesus says, and you're going to have the favor of God. Because even the demons believe and tremble, all right? But they don't have the favor of God. Ephesians 2, verses 7 through 8 says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right? You had nothing to do with it. It's a gift from God, this favor. Psalms 5, verse 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with the favor as with a shield. So that shield is around you at all time. You got that fog and that shield around you at all time. And people can be hurling darts at you. You know, I'm thinking about our coach over here, Mark Ward. They may be hurling darts at you, but they're not hitting you. You know, and because you got the shield of faith all around you. And it doesn't matter what people say or do. And everybody's, you know, I've been there. Everybody's a better coach than the coach, right? And everybody can coach from the sidelines, but they're not out there on the field in that moment. So, shuddy, okay? All right? And let the coach do his job, because that's who God put in authority in that situation. Everybody said, amen. All right, just trying to help you out, Mark. 4 points. I'm in your corner, buddy. 4 points to access the favor of God each and every day. Number two, you receive God's favor by faith. I know this is real basic stuff, but we all need to hear this again. You receive God's favor by faith, just like Mary did. Yeah, she had a question. It was a valid question, too, you know. And I'm going to tell you, this is a little sidebar here. Something else that I was looking at the other day, and I was telling Jada about this, is, you know, I don't want you to leave here thinking, okay, I can't even ask God questions. I just, you know, whatever he says, do it. And yes, yeah. But you can question, okay? You can talk to God. God wants to have that dialogue with you. He wants to have that relationship. And I'm thinking about but not question it to the point where you just question yourself plumb into not faith. If you're going to question yourself into faith, not out of faith. May I put it like that? And so, there's a story in the Bible where they, you know, Jesus anointed his disciples, and he said, okay, guys, I'm sending you out two by two. You're going to do exactly what you saw me did. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to do all this stuff, and you're going to do it in my name. And if you ever watch The Chosen, it's a neat scene because you see them go out by twos, and they're doing it, and they're like, golly, we're just like Jesus. We're doing just what he told us we could do, and they're doing it, and they're doing it. Well, there's one scene in the Bible, in one of the Gospels, I think it's John, where the Bible says that there's a man that brought his son to him, and they couldn't cast out the demon, if you remember this story. And they're like, okay, we've been having success before because you sent us out two by two, and we've been doing this, Jesus. And so they questioned God. They questioned Jesus at that point. And they took Jesus aside, and they said, and this is where that relationship comes in, and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast that out? We've been doing this before, but on this particular one, for some reason, we couldn't do it. And Jesus tells them, and he says this, and it's a whole other teaching. He says, this kind can come not out by prayer and fasting. Yes. Is what he told them. And they're so, okay, so there's different levels to this thing, you know, that we're in, this battle that we're in. And there is. And so that's a whole other teaching. But what my bottom line is I'm trying to tell you that we receive everything by faith, just like they went out two by two by faith. But you can question God if you question him and it leads you into faith or deeper in him. Is that helping somebody? All right. So Hosea 4:6, because this is the scripture, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're like, okay, that didn't happen, God, and that's all. You know, we weren't able to help, and this poor gentleman's being destroyed, and we want to help this family, so God teaches something, and he says, okay, I'm going to give you some more knowledge here in this situation. You need more prayer, more fasting. And what prayer is not begging God. It's the prayer that, best way I can say this, is just what he was telling him, you need more of my presence. And that my presence comes in your life when you spend time with me in prayer. And so that when you go out on the battle scene, they're like, okay, like Peter, you know, in the book of Acts, okay, those guys are uneducated, but they've been with Jesus because he's all over them. And the deal is that's not only seen in the natural realm, that's seen in the spiritual realm as well. And everybody said, amen. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance to the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord, of God and of Jesus our Lord. So God wants us to grow in knowledge, and we receive that by faith. How that comes, Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing what you're doing today and hearing by the word of God. I'm praying that whenever people sit under my teaching, I pray that their faith is being stirred up and they're being taught, and that they're mixing their faith with God in his word, and their faith is growing and their faith is increasing. So, because that's how faith comes, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Mark 11, verse 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There's four words that work. I believe and I receive. Confession of these four words keeps the switch of faith turned on in your life. Mark 11, 24. Four points to access the favor of God each and every day. Here's number three. God is searching for someone to bless with his favor. God is not the mean God sitting up in heaven with a magnifying glass trying to burn us up, you know, like we used to do as little kids with, you know, ants, okay? And that, a lot of people have that mentality with God, that God's just out to get me. God doesn't like me. You know, God, you know, life is just giving me one big spanking because God doesn't like me. And life may be spanking you because you're not making the right choices. It has nothing to do with God. Amen. And because God wants to bless you as his son and as his daughter. Okay? So, and God is literally looking, he's not looking to punish people or judge people. He's looking to bless people. And second, that's the heart of the Father. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Isaiah 66, verse 2, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. So be sure, you know, that's the, God wants you to get into his word, guys, so that faith will come. And when he sees that, then he's able to pour out his favor upon you. Be sure to insert your name and pray out loud so you can hear what God's word truly says about you. This will change your life when you start putting your name in there in those scriptures. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace I, whatever your name is, have been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for Mark by sending Christ to die for Mark while Mark was still a sinner. Amen. You put that in there and personalize it. Psalms 5, verse 12, for you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround me with your shield of love. 2 Peter 1, 2, may God give me more and more grace and peace as I grow in my knowledge of God and Jesus my Lord. So begin thanking the Lord right now that you're enjoying his favor in every area of your life. Then make sure to read and meditate over the promises God gave concerning his people in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And I encourage you to read that. That's that chapter, those 14 verses, is titled in my Bible, is titled The Blessings of Obedience. And Tay and our praise team sang it this morning with the blessing. A lot of that scripture, a lot of that from that song comes from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And as you do, remind yourself that you walk in the favor of God each and every day. One of the things that Jada and I pray over us and our kids and our grandkids every day is that we are all walking in the favor of God. God, we're walking in favor with you and with man. And we expect, and I'll even take it a step further. My grandma Lita taught me this, and she would even pray, and I expect front row parking spaces. And literally she did. I mean, my grandma would walk in that kind of, I learned this from my grandma, and she would drive in and she would say, Lord, we just need a good parking spot right here, you know, and one would just come up. Does Janice do that too? Yeah, see, it's a grandma thing, I guess. But I learned that from my grandma, and it would happen. I'd be with her and it would happen. I'd look at her and I'm like, no way that person just backed out. She'd look at it, that's a favor of God, Mark. That's a favor. We're in the fog, baby, you know, and so... But my grandma was the one that taught me that the first, you know, just little bitty things like that, and thanking God for it when it happens, and praising God for it when it happens. I'll never forget this one time. My grandma rubbed off on me very early, of course, and I'll never forget this. It was back whenever Roma's, and Elk City used to be the Kettle. So here's another. My grand and so it was the Kettle one night. We was at a church service, and we went to the Kettle afterwards, and she said, "Mark, before I leave, I need to lay hands on you." And I'm like, you know, I was just new to this whole thing. I was like, "Do what? What are you gonna do, Grandma? I don't want you to lay hands. You're gonna spank me? What's going on?" Because I did not understand that terminology. You know, the church language. You know, and she said, "No, I'm going to lay my hands on you and bless you." And I said, "Okay." And so we go out in the parking lot, and I was like, you know, Grandma's going to pray for me. I heard my grandma pray all the time. We, you know, we had big meals, you know, on Thanksgiving, and Grandma prayed. Us kids, I literally would sit over like, "Good God, amen, let's eat," you know, because I'm wanting to eat Grandma's, you know, chicken and noodles, you know, that she made homemade chicken and Grandma, if you know my grandma, and I love my grandma, but she, in her prayer, she'd preach a sermon to the whole family, okay. And we'd all have said, it felt like a 30-minute prayer to me. And I'm sitting over like, let's eat, Grandma, come on, you know. And she was just sowing seeds and planting. And here's the deal, guys. I've watched it over my lifetime that everybody in our family is serving God. And even the generations that are coming up, they're getting, you know, watching them getting baptized on social media and all this. Grandma started something. And in that parking lot out there, what she released over me was just, she knew that I was called into ministry before I even did, and she was releasing that over me, and I just began to just break and weep, you know, when Grandma did that. And I don't even know why I shared this whole story this morning, but I guess I needed to. My grandmother's faith was, and my dad's too. That's why we're here today. And you never know who you're affecting around you, and with walking in the fog, and I know that's where that came from, was her parking spots, and there was, guys, we need to praise God for the, we always time to get caught up in the big things that we just need to praise God for the, praise Him for the small things, praise Him like my grandma, you know, for the parking spots and all that. So I used this is where I was going with this, where I used this one time with a guy. He wasn't a believer, didn't go to church or anything. I worked with him, and we were riding together one day, and I'd been around my grandmother so much, it rubbed off on me, and we were going to go play golf, and I needed my golf shoes, and I said, "Hey, can we swing by the house and get my golf shoes?" And I said, I'm just praying that my wife is still at home because they're in our vehicle. And we turned the corner where we lived at that time in Elk City, and I knew that she was home because our vehicle was still there. And it just come out of my mouth. And I said, "Praise God." You know, God just answered my prayer. And the guy looked at me and was like, "God didn't answer your prayer about that." And I said, "Yes, He did. He sure did. He cares about my golf shoes. And He cares about my golf game. And I'm going to fix him to beat you." Anyway, so God is good. And all the time, okay, here's number four. You must release your faith for God's favor. And I'm hoping that you're learning that today. You've got to mix faith with it, because God does want to bless you, and He wants you to be favored. For Abraham, human reason for him, reading this out of the Amplified Bible, hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question. So he wasn't questioning God, even in a situation, even though he was 100 and Sarah was 90, concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. But the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone. Righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Through him also we have our access. Here's accessing the favor of God. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. The faith of Abraham, we all have it today, and we can all walk in it. And everybody said amen. Did everybody learn something today? Now, I'm going to bring part two of whatever I started off with in Luke chapter 1 about this favor thing with Mary, and that she didn't let her this... she thought, okay, this is literally what she thought. She thought, and it was a good thought, she thought it was a right thought according to nature and everything in it. She said, well, because I'm a virgin, this can't happen. And God said, nope, because I spoke it, it's going to happen. And then she renewed her mind to that situation, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. So don't get hung up on something you've done in the past that's making you question your identity or anything. If God has spoken something over you, you need to say, be it unto me according to your word. Don't go, but God. But God, I did this the other day. But God, this was the way I was in my past before I got saved. But God, you don't know. I don't have the credentials to do that job. But God. If God spoke it, but God. And that's where you say, be it unto me according to your word. Is everybody getting that? That's how you walk in this favor. That's how you access God's favor, by faith. All right, I want to pray this over all of us in here today. The favor of God is on everyone in this house today. As they leave here today, they're going to walk in it 24/7. The favor of God surrounds them, and the favor of God goes before them. Father, we have access to the throne of divine favor at all times, and in our time of need, that favor comes our way. That favor is going to manifest. God, and that favor is going to manifest in different ways. It may be as what we talked about this morning, and just, you know, jokingly, but it may be in the form of a parking space, God. It may be in the form of plumb up to a doctor's report, God, but we're going to have the favor of God is upon your people today, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, give us eyes to see it. Give us ears to hear it, God. And then, Lord, help us to remember those times of favor so that it keeps building our faith for more, to walk in more favor and more favor. And God, help us to realize that it's not just this favor thing that we're going to walk in. It's not just for us, but it's for the other people around us to see and hear and taste and see that the Lord is good, to see the goodness of God that's upon our lives, that they tangibly feel, they see the righteousness, they see the joy, and they see the peace of the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom of God. God is what Romans says. Romans 4:17 says that. It says that the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what we want people to see that's upon us. Help us to bring the kingdom of God into situations. Help us to bring hope into situations, God. Help us to bring your favor into situations, your peace, your joy, God, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you that your favor surrounds us as a shield today, that we're going to walk out of here today, God, in this glory fog of the favor of God. Lord, we give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's something I wanted that I do every Sunday. And it's just to make sure that everybody here has the opportunity to confess Jesus from their heart, that he is Lord and Savior of their lives. And as the Bible says that when we do that, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer to do that today. And even if you are saved and you know it, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good and all the time. Look at somebody and say, you're in the fog, buddy. All right, everybody stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Jada, will you come up here? We're going to speak this blessing over you. I know our praise team sang it earlier, but we're going to speak it over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. 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 You're in the fog. You guys have a great week.